Welcome to Innocent Island on the 17th of October. Sorry about the late one.
Technology is playing tricks of us.
Yeah.
I think symptomatic of the overall imminent downfall of the global financial system, but I could be wrong. Maybe it's nothing to do with that.
Maybe it's nothing to do with that. Maybe it was connected though.
I don't know. Who knows? Well, that was anyway. KRS-One anyway, kicking the truth to the people.
Yeah. Woot woot. That's the sound of the police. I've never actually heard a cop do that, but maybe that's what they do in where he's from.
It's possible. What have we got on tonight? Tell us, what have we got on?
Oh, I'm telling you, you have the piece of paper. All right, okay, right. Tonight we have... Oh, now I have the piece of paper. Okay, tonight on tonight's show, we have an interview with Daniel from the Library House, which is a new squat that's opening in Camberwell, Squat Social Centre. He'll be talking to you about that. We also have, what's her name? Molly on from the Rotsblatt squat, which is the oldest squat in Poland, which is celebrating its 14th anniversary soon, and they're facing some difficulties. We're going to have an interview with that, which was done by Leila. He was not here this evening. And also we have a wicked recipe, some tunes, and we have some news from the homeland, my homeland, from Maura Harrington, who was recently on hunger strike as the solitaire ship tried to lay a pipe in County Mayo, Sheldon Sea.
Zero stuff. She's off hunger strike now.
Anyway, okay. So that's what we have coming up. Not sure if we have a DJ. Probably not. Who knows? Maybe someone will turn up just randomly off the street, play some jeans.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Sure. We'll see.
It's known to happen, though.
It has been known to happen. We've had some our technical difficulties have affected our DJ, who's now broken as well.
The DJ is broken?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. So anyway, right, we'll get going and get it done. Lively House interview first, which is with Daniel and Chickpea did this one there last week.
Chickpea here with Dissident Island, and I'm sitting here with Dan, and we're sitting actually in the Library House, the newest squat / social center in South London, and it's a pretty nice space. So how's it going so far?
It's quite hectic. We've opened it 10 days ago. It felt like 10 years actually. I wasn't aware of, you know, the crash, the crisis, and you know, for 10 days I've been just in complete autarcy. Well, that's a French word. Yeah. We've been working hard. It's been a while. We're looking for a space to have a social center in the south, in South London. We had different buildings in mind, but as soon as we saw this one, we were like, okay, we want it, even though it was really well protected. But it's a council place, and we decided that we wanted to have it, and some people were quite confident. So, yeah, we did it. That was quite good for our self-confidence. A lot of us are quite new squatters or quite inexperienced people. And
so what sort of stuff do you have planned for the space?
At the moment, we're sort of focusing on the first event that's going to be this Saturday. We want to do a lot about the garden. We have a huge garden here.
Yeah.
So we're going to try. We haven't decided anything really precise yet, but we want to do stuff around that, maybe having space for the neighborhood to grow stuff here, grow stuff ourselves. That would be a bit contradictory with having some permaculture things going on. Well, there's been a lot of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have the ground floor dedicated to the social center, which can have like regular social centers activities like a cafe, movies, info shop. Meetings can happen there. Maybe some sort of crèche, but that is a bit more difficult, you know, for legal reasons. But maybe looking after some friends' kids or, you know, something like that. There's been talks about, you know, yoga, dancing.
Capoeira, I heard.
Capoeira. Well, yeah, everything is going to depend on the people coming here as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Prunut Bombs might cook here. I mean, Reclaim Your Food, Brixton.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quite interested maybe in doing part of the free school thing that is happening here. you know, share the project with Rampart.
And this weekend you're having an event, I believe, on Saturday, is that right?
So yeah, our first public event is on Saturday. It's from 3 PM onwards. Yeah, we've been thinking about using the garden, having some free food, some music, some dancing, some poetry. Also, one important thing here is that we haven't got electricity.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a lot of difficulties to get it. And in a way, we're going to try to use that as a challenge. Well, get to know a bit more about, you know, alternative stuff, and maybe, you know, bike-powered things, using generators, batteries, solar panels, whatever we can try to find. So for that, we kind of need people who know what they're doing. Yeah.
So I guess this is kind of a call out for people experienced with solar energy, renewables, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's definitely people out there. They just need to get in contact.
Yeah. Or generator that works, you know, with this oil.
But I like the refuse of
takeaway, all of that.
Besides a generator or solar panels and people with experience in those sorts of electric things, do you have any other wish list items that you're looking for, or specific skills?
Well, we need people to get involved. We need people to look after the place on a regular basis. There's residents, but the more the merrier, and the more people from outside are getting involved, the less quickly we will burn out.
Yes, definitely.
So yeah, people to come here helping cleaning out, having the space ready. People having projects are welcome. With special expertise, well, I'm just thinking about the alternative energy thing. But generally, people with positive energy are more than welcome. We've been having a lot of... There's already been a lot of tensions and, you know, issues maybe with the outside world. And it hasn't been, like, a very easy time.
Yeah, you got a letter from the council that said you had to be out by the 29th, and that was yesterday.
Yeah, that was yesterday. They didn't come. They reacted really quickly. Yeah. 12 hours after... We got inside the space. We had the letter.
Yeah. Have you contacted anyone in the neighborhood, or have you tried circulating a letter yet?
Well, we got flyers and posters ready, and that's the project of the week. Yeah, to get to know. Well, we've met some of the neighbors. We have a really, really nice direct neighbor who's really supportive. We met a couple of other neighbors who are generally quite happy. But no, we haven't done yet the neighborhood reaching out.
Since this interview was recorded, meetings have continued to happen, and the following events will be happening at the Library House. On Thursday, the 23rd of October, a Kapura workshop will happen. A food buying workshop on Saturday, the 25th, will also be happening. And there may or may not be a cafe this coming Saturday, which is tomorrow, the 18th of October. That's TBA. But definitely drop by, show support, say hi to the residents, and also know that the space is open to be used for political or community activities. Yeah, drop by, attend any of the meetings, which are happening regularly on Wednesdays, and the address is 52 Knatchbull Road. That's spelled K-N-A-T-C-H-B-U-L-L. That's an S-E-5-9-Q-Y. And yeah, check it out.
It's a forest.
Yo, welcome back.
Yeah, was that right?
It felt a bit like being smacked around the face of an ironing board repeatedly.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's just me, I don't know.
I was smacking it about the face on an ironing board.
Oh, fuck, I didn't notice.
Anyway, blimey. Next we have a Ros Brett interview, which was done by Chickpea, again. You might notice she does a lot of stuff. This is going to be a long one, so it's broken up in the middle by a tune.
Hopefully this tune, it won't be like being smacked around the head of an ironing board.
No, I'm going to kick you in the balls and ram a steering wheel up your hole.
Well, I look forward to it.
Here is an interview from one of the people involved with Ros Brett, which happens to be the oldest squad in Poland, located in the city of Poznan. Ros Brett is just shy of its 14th birthday, which is being celebrated this coming Sunday, and it was originally squatted on October 19th, 1994, by people from the punk scene. Nothing intentionally political or cultural happened for the first year or two, but in 1996, things changed after an attack on the squat by Nazis. Some people were stabbed and seriously injured, and this prompted the people involved to change their views on the activities happening there. People involved wanted Ros Brett to be something more significant than a place where gigs could happen, and the number of people visiting and being part of Ros Brett grew significantly. An anarchist library was established there. The Anarchist Federation started meeting there as well. Now, many more groups and trade unions use Ros Brett as a meeting place. The space is absolutely massive, including two bars, a gallery, an info shop, a publishing house, office space, two concert halls, and living space for currently 15 to 16 people. And as if that's not enough, there's loads of green space around it to boot. I am on the line with Molly, who will be talking to us about Ros Brett. There's a lot of activity and a lot of people coming to Ros Brett and doing many different groups and things. But what about the interaction between the people that are going to Ros Brett and the local community, the people who live around the area?
So we also raise this issue very often, in a bigger context, because we talk a lot about the city and Ros Brett, like what is the role of Ros Brett for the city, because Poznan as a city is a city of business, of a city of big shopping malls, of the richest guy comes from Poznan, and it's just a really clean and really business-like city, and there's not much social space for people to hang out, to do anything. There's not much space for artists, for alternative artists to make art. So we emphasize our role for the city in general more than really locally, because there's only one squat in Poznan. So, and it's so big and it's so old that we widened the perspective, I don't know. And what we do is rather contacting people from other neighborhoods that are protesting against certain things. We have done protests with people from neighborhoods protesting against the military aircraft airport.
Mm-hmm.
We cooperate a lot with the workers from local factories who are being fired from their jobs, and because there is a trade union which is also meeting at Ros Brett.
Mm-hmm.
So we emphasize more our role in the city,
yeah,
more than in the district, because the neighborhood is, as I told you, just middle class villas,
yeah,
neighborhood.
Obviously, 14 years is a really long time, and many people have come and gone. And what is the trick to keeping a space open for so long? Or just maybe you have some sort of words of wisdom for us.
Not really, because we are actually lucky with we were, I don't know if we still are, with the legal situation of the ground, because it's really complicated. All ground is divided into three parts, which is is owned by someone else, and the biggest one was owned by a company that disappeared some 15 years ago, and they're being they're wanted by Interpol or something, and they just took a big loan from a bank and disappeared. And that's their ground that is supposed to be auctioned soon. And it is just because the situation was really complicated. And also Polish legal, procedures are really chaotic still. We're still just 18 years after the communism ended, so everything is really chaotic. So we were just lucky. It is the only space in Poland that has lasted for so long. The other squads, maybe the oldest one after us was maybe 6 years old, mm-hmm. when it was evicted.
There is an auctioning going on in regards to the land that Razbrad is on. Is that right?
Yes. This biggest part, which was owned by this mysterious company, is being auctioned, and it's going to be auctioned in some weeks, some months, we don't know, because the company took a loan from a bank, and now the bank is can sell the ground to get the loan back. And and the first alarm that we raised was in January when the bailiff came with cops and they drilled the locks of the gate and came in to estimate the price of the ground. And then at that time, bailiff said, you have 1 or 2 months. And that was like pretty shocking for us. And we started all campaign that they want to kick us out. And we hired a lawyer and we started to monitor the situation. And then it turned out that we have to wait for the documents to just go to the court, and then the auction will start. And then nothing was going on for a while, and we were waiting like all the time. Somebody was waiting. We were waiting, and we didn't know when this auction is going to happen. And then, 2 weeks ago, we raised another red alarm because the lawyer got information from the court that the bailiff sent the documents to the court. That means that the auction is going to be really soon. But as I said before, in January we thought it's going to be in 2 or 3 months, and now we think it's going to be in 1 or 2 months. But it's still not sure. We're going and checking it, and our lawyer is also checking it out all the time. So it can be any day that we find out that the auction is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And when we know the date of the auction, we're going to make a demonstration for sure on the day of the auction. And if it's in the middle of a week, then we're going to make a demonstration in the weekend, a bigger one, to invite people from abroad, from other cities to come. Mm-hmm. And for sure, it's going to be a long campaign. Actually, it was started in January. It's called Razbrad Stays. And we've made a lot of gigs to raise funds for legal help or any means of help in the future. We got a lot of solidarity in the last year. I cannot remember so many people from abroad visiting us. It was a really good year. Really, we got a huge support from so many people from so many places. And our campaigning was not only about publicizing our situation, but it was also that we, for example, made two major renovations of one concert hall and one bar. Mm-hmm. And we showed, like, this is our space, we're taking care of it, it's we're not giving up, we're not waiting passively, and this is the situation right now, and we're still waiting. Surprisingly, we have a lot of support, at least spoken support, from many people in the city. Of course, we don't give a shit about the words of politicians, because some of them were expressing their support, but we had a meeting in a theater in May, and we invited the politicians to come and say what they have to say, and we actually were inviting them personally, and none of them came. So we said, okay, this is this is your usual tactic. You talk to the media, you tell, yeah, full support for the alternative youth or whatever they think about us, and then they don't hear. So, yeah, we have a lot of support in the city. This is a really big case. It's like a really publicized case, and but in Poland there is no example of such thing.
Yeah.
In general, like at all. So people totally don't get what we want because they say this is private property. Get out. And it's really hard to discuss about it so far with anyone who is not sharing the views that we have.
In regards to the day-to-day running of Razbrat, is there, like, how, maybe you can tell us about how it happens. Like, is there a sort of collective of people? How does stuff get done, basically?
We do everything by ourselves. All those years, we've always done everything by ourselves. We have people who make different professions. We have also building experts, and they help us a lot to learn a lot of things. Most of us learn just, you know, everything about renovation, about roofing, and a lot of stuff. We never hire, like, you know, anyone from outside. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, basically there is Razbrat Collective, which is a group of people who are not necessarily in the Anarchist Federation, or they're just involved in the place itself.
Mm-hmm.
So we meet every few weeks to talk about renovations, about fundraising, about taking care of the place. And these are more like technical meetings about what to do and stuff. Also discussions about people who live at the squad. But there are different groups that run the place, but the major one where everyone who wants to be involved in making any kind of activity at the squad is Razbrat Collective.
Mm.
And there we decide who wants to make which renovation, what to buy for the renovation, how to make the renovation, mm-hmm. how long it's going to take, how to put the agenda of gigs so that we could make something in between them. Yeah, that's technically how it runs.
Is this the place to be? What am I doing here? Watching the girls go by.
Night.
This is your place to be.
Night.
Moly and the Razbrat Collective, an anarchist federation from Poznan, wrote an article that featured in a publication from the 2008 ESF Action Network. I asked her to talk about the inspiration and message behind the article.
It started when we came to international squatters meetings. It was first in Dijon, and then it was in Berlin and in Kesselberg. There were international squatters meeting connected with the squatting action days. And there was this big discussion about squatting, and the point that hit everyone was that everybody, when they were introducing their squats, they were saying, they were not saying what they're doing, what is the point of their place for the, I don't know, local community, for the city, for the country. They were just saying, we're getting evicted on this and this day. Yeah. Please come and help us. And at some point, it was like basically 90% of people were saying like that. And then we were kind of confused with that. We said, okay, at that point in Dijon, we didn't know that we're going to have an eviction threat in a few months. So then we said, like, okay, we're not getting evicted so far, but there's a lot of things going on around, and we just said what's going on and blah. And then there were people from Greece, from Fabrika Ifanet, who totally smashed all the discussion. They said, we don't care if we get evicted, we're just going to squat something else. This is not the point about squatting to fight during evictions. We're there for the social struggle that is going on in this system, and squatting is one of the means that we use, and we shouldn't just wait for the day when the cops kick our asses, because they will do it, but yeah, we just have to go on, we just have to fight all the time. And that was a really beautiful moment in the discussion, and then all the discussion went that way. And and actually after this first meeting, the second meeting in Berlin, after 6 months, we were just planned to talk about those issues, about squatting and social struggles. Because there's this dangerous tendency, a dangerous tendency of squats being ghettos, yeah, that they are just, you know, place for punks, making gigs, they don't really care about the things going on around, they don't really care about politics, or if they do, they just do it in a really isolated way. Mm-hmm. And that's really important that these things came out during those meetings, and they were really, really hopeful for us. And there's a big discussion in the international movement that these days, it's really, everything is changing really rapidly. We're facing new phenomena going on around. We're facing an economical crisis right now, and we should, you know, follow the events that are going on around us. And also, we shouldn't just focus on the things that has been going on for the past 30 years in the squatting movement. We should use some new means of struggle, and as squats, we also should fight in some new way, or just be there for the people around us, not just for ourselves, because we can see that for so many years it didn't work out.
In regards like the ghettoization of autonomous spaces, it's kind of difficult for that not to happen in some ways, though, because a lot of these activity is considered and is in many ways on the fringe of society. So maybe you can tell us from your personal perspective, or from what you've seen, from what you've heard from people that you agree with, what do you propose is a good way for squats and people squatting who want to be political and want to engage with their environment to not just become isolated?
Well, the first step that you should do is just go out of the squat and look at the people people around you, look at the city around you, look at the struggles in the city that are also isolated. That's what happened with our space. First, there were fights for evictions of individual people in different flats in Poznan, because some years ago it was legal to evict somebody just to the street. And yeah, those were the first struggles that people from our political community took part in. Those were the blockades of evictions. And then we got in touch with the people from the biggest, one of the biggest factories in Poznan, who were fired. There were plans to fire a lot of people from the factory, and then people from our anarchist group came there and handed out leaflets about it, and then we just got in touch with them somehow, and now it's now 7 years of really, really fruitful cooperation. There's a really strong union in that factory right now, which comes from our trade union, because there are, of course, mainstream trade unions going on over there that don't give a shit about struggle, but just for, you know, for the union leaders. And you just it's really easy, but at one point it is easy, but on the other hand it's not, because if you have a squad you have to put a lot of energy to make the space look better, to make it easier to live in, to make it easier to make any events over there. But if you really want to make it an open space, you should spend some time on going out and looking for some allies around you. Of course, it's really hard because the people, they don't share the same beliefs, but we have some points that we struggle for together. From our experience, it's just really visible that people, when they fight together, it's 100 times more better than just seeing each other over the fence of the house if it's your neighbor. People just, when they struggle together, when they help each other in the moments when it's really hard for any of the parts of this struggle, and they really remember that, and then if you need their support, they will come and help you. And that's what we've learned from our histories. I know I've talked to many people from different countries about that. That's also this point of discussion that we've had on the international meetings, that it's really hard to just go out and find somebody over there. But there are many means of getting to people. Like in Greece, when you go to Greece in the streets, there are just posters and stickers everywhere with long communiques about different situations. This is the means that they use. Of course, they do a lot of different stuff, but it's just an example. Just go out anyhow you can. Like, go out physically, like, go out and see the workers of the factory, yeah, that you know that there are going to be some people fired. Or just go out and make posters about the, I don't know, the raise of prices of municipal communication tickets or whatever. So many things to do around you. And, you know, for me, squatting, and I think that a big part of also our collective squatting and being there at the squat is not just about having your place and feeling safe over there and having fun. It's also being ready to invite many, many different people from different communities that cannot meet where they live, where they work, because just there's no such possibility.
To read more about Razbrat, and also to find a copy of the article that Molly and the collective wrote, go to www.rozbrat.org/english.htm. You can also find a link to this on our links page at Dissident Island. And here's a final message from Molly.
Yeah, everyone who wants to come to Poland and visit us, you're all welcome. It's only a 4 hours ride from Berlin, so really, if you're in Berlin, you just have to come and visit us. Just come over and see us and support us and, keep the struggle locally.
Thank you. Hey, welcome back. So, yeah, Layla's not here with us. She's at a wedding, so I have to do the recipe. So get ready. Yeah, okay. All right. Neil's going to join on this one.
Hey, how's it going?
From afar.
Yo.
Right, so this is available on our website. Just go to the recipe site. But I'll read it out anyway, because I know you're all kind of waiting there with your mixing bowls and all the rest of it. So, this is chocolate vegan brownies. If you're looking to get the good chocolate fix, look no further than these yummy morsels of goodness.
Are you reading that?
Yeah, I am. What goes in? Right. What's in it? You need 250 grams of all-purpose flours, 400 grams of sugar, 65 grams of pure cocoa powder, 3 grams of baking powder, 10 grams of salt. Fucking hell. 235 milliliters of coffee at room temperature. Instant is fine, but proper espresso is better.
Room temperature coffee?
Room temperature.
Does it have to be heated? Can you like just make it with tap water, or do you have to boil the kettle and wait for it to cool down?
You have to boil it, but you never boil coffee. There's a tip.
Thanks.
So then you get 235 milliliters of vegetable oil, 10 milliliters of vanilla extract, and then some nuts. Jesus, look, just go to the website.
You're a fucking bollocks.
Right, okay. How many nuts? This is really difficult, basically, because vegan bacon is really tricky, so you need to like be really careful with the temperature. So
bananas.
Bananas.
They just usually stick bananas in instead of eggs. Isn't that basically...
And it's all okay.
I thought that was basically the trick to vegan bacon. Do you know what I mean?
Well, basically the problem with the brownies is that they're really dense. So
stupid, like?
Yeah.
Look, I don't know. So, lots of bananas. Five bananas,
right.
One banana, two banana, three banana, four.
Possibly the most confusing recipe we've given out so far.
Also, it just says nuts. Everything else was really specific, like 5 milligrams, okay. And 10 grams.
Was it 235 grams and of room temperature
and then
coffee?
It just says nuts, you know. How many nuts?
6 walnuts, 4 hazelnuts, and... 3 sprinkles of chocolate.
That's
fair brownie.
Thank you.
Right.
How many brownies does the mixture make?
I can't see. Maybe I'll come to it. So anyway, brownies are really dense. So what you need to do is get your oven really hot first. Mix everything together, whipping it as you go. And then, because you want to get loads of air in it. And then once the mixture is done, pour it into a grease pan, throw it in the oven so that the air stays in the mix. And then, yeah. So then what you do is you just like go to 175 Celsius and then...
But what if your oven's like... Because the oven in the house that I'm staying in at the moment currently, it's just like it doesn't have any numbers on it. Does it matter? You know, can you just like... Basically jam it up to really, hot. Really hot.
Yeah.
You know, does it have to be 175 specifically?
You're going to have to ask Layla. I'm really doing like a monkey's job here. I'm doing a really bad job of it.
You're doing pretty shammy, all right?
Yeah,
pretty shammy.
Well, okay. So if you want to make the mix, right, basically what you do is like...
We'd already put it in the oven.
What?
We've already put it in the oven. They were making the mix.
Just read as it goes, okay? Look, really, 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 I know like it just sounds like me being lazy, but you should just really go to the website. And as an added incentive, we'll be giving these brownies out at the Anarchist Book Fair, which we're going to have a stall at tomorrow. So for all you live listeners who aren't listening because we started really late, there you go.
if you're listening to the podcast, we've eaten the brownies.
Other people have eaten them as well. There's the recipe.
Nicely done.
And as to the book fair, I don't really recommend that you go. It's just going to be full of scraggly troublemakers, really.
I'm talking
you.
No, not me, no.
You're not
going to
go?
No. I've got better things to do. I've got Pop Idol to watch, stuff like that.
Hell, man.
Yeah.
That's not on at all.
Is it the omnibus tomorrow?
The omnibus?
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch like 6 hours of it.
Wow.
I'm gonna get serious.
You gonna watch it in your underpants?
Yeah. Of course.
You gonna put your hand down your underpants?
Enough of this.
Yeah, really. It's
Are we playing a song? We play a song. This sounds like Battles, is it?
This Battles. Battles, yeah.
Battles, wicked.
There's the microphone.
Excellent. Here he is. Welcome back. That was Battles. Next up, we have something that is kind of that we've come back to a few times over the last year and a bit, which is the Shell to Sea campaign. And just to give you a little bit of an update, that like over the past few months, Shell to Sea has restarted its direct action activities against Shell's construction of the high pressure gas line in Rossport in Mayo, which is in the northwest of Ireland. Day-to-day blockades of the construction site for the pipeline have been a regular feature of the campaign. Since the start of September, the arrival of the world's largest pipeline ship has seen that continue. It's called the Solitaire. Anyway, this development led to the blockade being expanded onto the water, as well as the involvement of the Irish Navy, whose presence is widely seen as an indicator of the Irish state's commitment to protecting Shell and Statoil's right to impose themselves on communities and the environment. Local people have been, and remain, the most active part of the Shell to Sea campaign, and with the arrival of the Solitaire, a local woman, Maura Harrington, began a hunger strike outside the gates of Shell's Rossport compound, demanding the ship leave Irish territorial waters. Her hunger strike lasted 10 days and attracted widespread interest from national and international media outlets. While Maura and the Shell to Sea campaign saw the departure of the Solitaire as a victory for the people of power, this hubris must, unfortunately, be tempered by the fact that the Solitaire left for Scotland due to a large part of its pipeline machinery falling off, and that the ship could, and most likely will, return when conditions are right. Despite this, Moira's hunger strike has shown determination of much of the local community. Supported by visitors from around Ireland and abroad, a lot came over from the UK, or went over from the UK, to resist Shell's designs on their lives. The following is an extract from a speech Maura made marking the end of her protests.
I thank divine grace and the support of decent people everywhere that the Solitaire has left Irish territorial waters. The courage of the chief, Pat O'Donnell, and his son Jonathan, who fought to uphold their rights at sea, and the tenacity of local people, together with national and international support in their quest for justice, is a testament to what is best in all of us. Local people have borne the brunt of Shell's arrogance and government neglect for the past 8 years. Yet Corrib remains a national issue because the government continues to put the profits of Shell before the needs of the Irish people. Any alternative location for the Corrib gas infrastructure will not build new schools, new hospitals, or contribute to the National Pension Fund. Until we, the people, benefit from what is rightfully ours, any attempt to extricate Shell and the government from the mess that is Corrib remains doomed to failure. It is fitting that the latest episode in the Corrib debacle should occur on the anniversary, by day and date, of the landslides which devastated Glengad and the wider Duncarton area in 2003. If Shell is capable of any rationality, now is the time for it to accept that it will never put a pipeline through Glengad. I believe that the Shell to Sea campaign gives hope to all who strive for an Ireland that cherishes all its people equally and upholds values that don't carry a price tag. Thank you.
Is it on? Is it on?
It's on.
Wicked. Excellent. Okay, yeah, so that was Maura. That Shell to Sea campaign, still going, fucking going for years, man. Hopefully. It's like, you know, kept it going for years. They still haven't got it, so you know what I mean? Anyway, support it. Check out Chelsea.com, and they have a camp that's started up again that's in Broadhaven Bay that they're looking for people to go over, help, support. Check it out. It's amazingly beautiful. It's going to be fucking cold there now, but beautiful. Anyway.
Bring your mittens.
Eh?
Bring your mittens.
Bring your mittens, indeed. And kittens, perhaps. Anyway,
no,
right.
No kittens.
No kittens. There's a strict no kittens policy. Anyway, boom. What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about tomorrow. What's going on tomorrow?
Tomorrow, well, here there's some sort of assemblage of scraggly troublemakers.
Is this at your house?
This is at my house, but we're going to watch Pop Idol. We're going to drink lots of Stella. It's going to be lovely. You're welcome to come around.
No, man, I'll be at the Anarchist Book Fair.
What's that?
It's a book fair.
A book fair? Run by anarchists. That sounds like nonsense to me.
No, it's great. It's on in... Where is it on? St. Catherine's thing?
No. It's on at Queen Mary University, which is in East London. It's on Mile End Road. So it's quite near to Mile End Tube Station.
Mile End Road, near off Mile End Tube Station.
Yeah.
Wicked. What time does it start at?
I don't know.
I think it's around like 9 o'clock or something like that.
Is it? Do we have to be there before that then?
Well, you know, it's not really going to start until like, you know.
Half 10.
Yeah. We've always said like the revolution will never happen before lunchtime. So, you know, the book fair is going to start around 11-ish. All the enthusiastic anarchists.
Okay, Wickets. Who's going to be there?
We are, and then that's all that really matters.
Yeah,
you get loads of free stickers.
We got the stickers.
No, we don't have stickers, but we get them off other people.
Okay, and then distribute them.
Well, no, I just
no for us.
Personal, kind of, you know, stock up on your stickers.
Okay, cool. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, there's going to be the usual lads like Class War. Who else? You know, all the boys. Yeah.
You need to use the microphone, Adam.
Hello? John Pilger, apparently, he's going.
John Pilger's going.
Yeah.
Okay, and so afterwards?
Afterwards?
Disson Island exclusive.
We're branching out a little bit. And we're going to broadcast a gig. Sexy. Okay, it's punk. Sorry, some people don't like punk, but fuck you. It's Killing the Boy, Interterrestrials, and The Blaggers, who
ITA.
Are... What?
ITA.
Blaggers ITA, yeah. Who are reforming. This is their first gig. They've been split up for years, so it'll be good. I don't actually know what time it's going to start at that, to be honest.
No.
Seven or eight.
It's like a 24-hour party.
It is a 24-hour party.
Oh, if you're interested, it's in like the Vic in Deptford.
The Victoria in Deptford, yeah. If you check out our website, we...
There's a flyer.
Is there a flyer?
Yeah.
Oh, we could. I didn't know that went up. Anyway, right, if you check out our website, there's a flyer. And yeah, come along. And if you can't come along, listen. And it will also be podcast afterwards, so you can get the sets from our website. Anything else going on? I've got a flyer here beside me, which is from Class War, which is for...
Don't you start.
Which is Remember, Bonfire. I thought it was the 5th of September, but anyway, that was a rubbish film, wasn't it?
You brought that home. I was most disappointed.
Yeah, no, that was rubbish. I mean, you could hear the bell from Westminster in the underground.
Yeah. Bells? What? What are you talking about?
It's a thing about that film. What's it called?
V for Vendetta.
Yeah. Good comic, apparently. Shit film. Anyway, right. So, Class War are having a thing in London Fields, which is in Acne, at 7 o'clock. It's a bonfire party, and it is going to be a laugh, I'd imagine, considering they want you to bring effigies, fireworks, and booze.
Always a good mix.
Yeah. So, you might want to check that out. Anything else that you want to big up yourself?
It's a bunch of stuff that I forgot.
Cool. That's handy.
Just Anarchist Book Fair. That's all you need to remember for like the next... That'll do you for a while, you know?
If you go to the book fair tomorrow, you'll be inundated with stuff that's happening, I guess.
Stuff to do and see. Yeah.
There you go.
So we've kind of no DJ for tonight, so we're just going to prick about on iTunes.
Say it like that.
Don't be rude.
We have no DJ, so we will be playing a selection on an unnamed program of reggae and probably some dubstep at the moment. Some
luxury music.
Luxury music.
Yeah, a selection of luxury music.
Okay, have you got the first tune picked out there, Patrick?
Yeah,
we're just gonna play for a little while. We're not gonna claim that it's gonna be a DJ set. But no. Like, if you like the reggae, you know,
wind down. It'll keep you going. You know.
Yeah. Anyway, right.
About some whale noises. I quite like some whale noises personally.
Whale wedges.
Yeah.
Are they like potato wedges?
It's just ambient whale noises. You know.
Oh, okay.
You got any whale noises?
What are you talking about, potato wedges?
Why are you saying whale on wedges?
What are you on about? What's a whale on wedge?
Oh, man, whale on noise and potato wedges. How can you listen to a potato wedge?
How can you listen to whale noise? And like,
well, it's easier than fucking potato wedges.
I don't know. I find that very soothing.
Put it on. I want to go to bed.
Is that why you have chips inside your headphones? Yeah. Anyway, right. This is all getting a bit fucking rambly. We need a smoke or something. Right. Bye.
would like to scan all of you in this room one at a time. I must remind you that the scanning experience is usually painful, sometimes resulting in nosebleeds, earaches, stomach cramps, nausea, sometimes other symptoms of a similar nature. There's a doctor present, Dr. Gatineau. I know that you've all been prepared for this, but I thought I'd just remind you just the same. Leave this room. Sometimes other symptoms of a similar nature.
been gone, so many things have changed, but I know where I belong, and I know when I reach that place. Oh, I know when I reach that place. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see the rain come down while the sun is shining. I see them dancing to the night. See the rain come down, the sun is shining. I see the rain come down while the sun is shining. I see them dancing to the night. Thank you.
station. Give me your number now. Pizza, what's your number? I don't answer. Pizza, what's your number, man? I don't answer. Pizza, what's your number now? Pizza, what's your number now? What the heck? 54, 46, that's my number. Oh, 54, 46, that's my number. One more time. 54, 46, that's my number. Oh, 54, 46, that's my number. I say yeah, I say yeah, that's what I say.
step, 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 step in.
effort, or if you can't make it, tune in, and maybe we see you at the book fair as well. Brian's going to say a little prayer. As promised, he's remained silent throughout the show. All right, check us later.